Welcome to the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Hildebrand. In today's episode, we'll discuss the beautiful world of dahlias. Join us as we explore the art of cultivating these stunning flowers in Kentucky with Dennis Morgeson, our guest. As the Washington County Horticulture Extension Agent, Dennis has extensive knowledge and experience in growing dahlias. He'll share his expertise with us, from planting tips to nurturing strategies, so that you can grow these beautiful flowers in your Kentucky garden. So, put on your gardening gloves and let's dig in.
Welcome to the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. This gardening show will equip and inspire avid gardeners with tips and tricks to help them navigate the gardening world. The show will also highlight specific growing requirements for seasonal plants, so the sun will shine brighter over their Kentucky garden. And now, here's that ray of sunshine, garden enthusiast and horticulture extension agent, Kristen Hildebrand, with the University of Kentucky Cooperative Extension Service.
Joining us today on the Sunshine Gardening Podcast is Dennis Morgeson. How are you, Dennis?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. I am so excited to talk about dahlias. I think they are such a stunning bloom. What are your thoughts about it?
Oh, I love them. I think they're really easy to grow. There's a few problems, but not many. And they are absolutely gorgeous, and they come in a lot of different shapes and sizes and colors. Very good plant for us to grow, and we can keep them from year to year if we do a few things correctly. They're not hardy. They are a tropical plant, but they do produce a tuber that we can save.
I like that fact, you know, that we can save it in that way, that we can just store it a certain way. And hopefully we'll get into that a little bit later in the podcast. But I wanted to ask you, with these blooms, the dahlia blooms, what can listeners kind of do to help maximize that bloom size and the color vibrancy in their gardens? And you may want to elaborate a little bit more about soil pH here, but I know that you've grown dahlias before in your garden. And so we're getting the best of both worlds. You know, you have the research-based information side, but you also have personal knowledge and experience with growing dahlias too. So I'm just curious, from both of those perspectives, what do you have to share?
Well, I guess the biggest thing about maximizing bloom is to pick the correct variety. The dinner plate types will have the largest blooms. Usually in Kentucky, it's a little bit too hot to get the largest bloom you can get. Usually tell people, like, 1 year I actually had dinner plate size, but we had a really cool July. Even though these are tropical plants, when it gets really hot, the blooms don't size up as well. I tell them that we're going to go more for saucer size in Kentucky instead of dinner plate. And then Kelvin Floodlight is a yellow dinner plate, and that one's going to give you the biggest bloom out of just about anything you can buy readily and plant in your garden. It's a really good variety. And now, as far as maximizing that flower size, we do need the correct cultivar, the correct weather. And usually we're going to pinch our dahlias. We're going to talk about that in a minute, I know. But if you let that first bloom come up on that dinner plate, that's going to be your biggest flower. The side branching ones will not be as big. Just something to keep in mind if you're just wanting really huge flowers.
Yes. And when you look at the catalogs of dahlias, there are like so many colors, there's so many shapes. They're just very, very different and unique in what that you have to offer. And I'm glad you talked about the dinner plate dahlias, because I know that growing up at my home, we always had the dinner plate dahlias. And those were so pretty to put in like a bubble size vase and then just add a little bit of water. And it looked like a water lily. It was so large.
Right.
Really pretty.
They're really nice. I have a picture somewhere, but with a plate next to it, just where I could prove that I did have one that big once.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you might want to share it with me later and I'll add it to the show notes. Will you kind of maybe elaborate on maybe which ones that you have found successful in the garden? I know you kind of mentioned a few things just in that opening statement, but maybe you found some other cultivars that work well.
There's some other cultivars. Usually there's a Bishop. I think it's a Bishop series, but it's a smaller red flower, but the plant has purple leaves and it gets about 3 to 4 foot tall, but it will bloom heavily. As long as you keep it deadheaded the entire summer, it's one of the easier ones to grow. And then a lot of Tahitian Sunset is a cactus flowered one. It's really easy to grow. There's just so many out there. Most of them need the same conditions, no matter what size they are. But the Bishop series, I think, is closer to the wild type. And I think that's why it does so much better than a lot of the other types.
Interesting. I didn't know that. You said Bishop series?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that name, but that's close.
Okay. I have heard of that other one before. And those cactus dahlias, they're really interesting. They're more pointed at the ends of the blooms.
Kind of like the cactus flowered zinnias. They look more like that, the little rolled petals and spiky on the ends. But you can get two-tone colors. You can get single flowers, doubles, large flowers, little flowers, whatever you want. There's a dahlia out there for you.
And it seems like the dahlias are very desirable from a florist standpoint. And you're going to elaborate a little bit more about planting. But generally for us here in Kentucky, we get them in the fall. Is that correct?
Starting in summer, going into fall. And then they really size up and color up better later in the season. If you're looking for those perfect flowers, that's usually when you're going to get them. And that's usually why they have the actual shows when they bring their blooms in and have a show to see who's got the best, whatever. That's usually in the fall.
That's usually in the fall. Yeah. Well, I know they are beautiful in weddings. I know they're very desirable for other functions as well. So I was just curious to kind of know what cultivars work good for you. Now, I know you mentioned that dahlias are more of a tropical type plant. What are the essential steps that we probably need to go through here in Kentucky for preparing the soil for planting of dahlias?
Okay. They like a nice, loose, humus soil like every other plant that we grow around here or in Kentucky. But I'm sure you're down in Warren County. You've got plenty of clay soil down there just like we do. So whatever organic matter you can mix in is going to help loosen that soil. It's also going to help keep that soil from being too wet, because if it gets too wet, I mean, these are a tropical tuber, they can rot pretty easy. But any kind of aged manure, organic matter, peat, any of that's going to be nice to mix up with that clay soil to help loosen it up. It's also going to make it easier for you to dig them in the fall. The looser the soil, the better off you're going to be. And then you're going to want to, after these plants are starting to sprout, come through the ground, then you put your mulch on, but don't put it on before that. And then the mulch is going to help even out your water situation in the summer. You're going to need a nicer plant and a bigger root system.
I like all those tips that you have there for really preparing the soil. And I don't think I'd really thought of the fact that you do want it loose, so that way when you do lift them, that way you can store them, and that's a lot easier at that point as well. What time frame are we looking at for planting dahlias?
We're going to plant these here anywhere from mid to late April up into May. If I were you, when you're a little bit warmer down there, I'd probably just wait until May the 1st. That soil temperature needs to be 60 degrees or above for these to activate. And if you plant them too early, you're going to run a risk of rot. So you may as well just wait until we get our warm weather and then go ahead and plant it. And you're probably, if you overwintered any of them, you're going to see little growth already starting by now, probably.
Mm-hmm. What kind of plant spacing are we looking at? Because some of these can be fairly large. Yeah,
generally, it's 18 inches on the larger types, and it's a lot closer on the little dwarf ones that only get about a foot tall. Also, back to the soil, we have to do an extension PSA, get a soil test, and then you'll know what your soil needs. But the organic matter is always going to be good. Just don't overdo the organic matter, say the manure or something like that, because then you might just get a lot of growth and not as many flowers. So you've got to even that out to make sure you don't over-fertilize.
And generally with these blooms, phosphorus is good for the root establishment part. And then the potassium, basically the levels that show in your soil test will probably be able to indicate what kind of blooms that you're looking at.
Right. Yes. And it just depends on where you are and what your soil types are. And maybe you're living in a new house and that soil's been just obliterated from building. You're going to have to add more organic matter and really loosen that up and get that going.
What are your thoughts, Dennis, on raised bed situations? Is that a good location for dahlias?
Yes, it's a good location as long as you can get in there and dig them in the fall. But that'll make it a lot easier probably for you to amend that soil in that location if you've got really hard clay or something like that. And these are fine for raised beds. You will have to stake the tall varieties because they will fall over. So all the larger flower types are going to be staked. It may be a bamboo stake. It may be a tomato cage. It may be whatever you want to use just to hold them up off the ground.
I was going to say, it seems like even for wind damage, just by staking them, like you said, with a couple of those different materials or options that you have readily available, can be really helpful. Because even in the summertime, we do have some storms that, depending on your location, the wind can...
In August, we usually have a few rounds of thunderstorms with pretty strong winds. And dahlia stems, they haven't grown them before, are hollow inside. So that's not a solid stem. So that's why they can blow over pretty easy. There's even a giant tree dahlia in South America that the Aztecs used to use to drink out of, telling you how big the dahlia stem was down there. The dahlia, well, actually, they found them growing with the Aztecs. They were planting them and growing them. So they've been around a while and cultivated by humans for a while.
Yeah, I like that history that you gave us too. Now, going back to the staking just for a second, do you recommend staking as you plant, or do you recommend doing that a little bit later after they get established?
You can wait until they get established, but honestly, if you're like me, if you don't go ahead and put something out there at the time you plant, you're going to forget about it. The plants will start growing and you're going to be like, well, that's fine. And then we'll have a windstorm and your plants fell down. You got a bloom that's big as a saucer or a dinner plate. That plant needs something to support. But I like to go ahead and just put something out there. Just like when you plant a tomato, go ahead and put a stake there or a cage or whatever. And that way you've already got that taken care of, you know, for the growing season.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Dennis. You know, I have the best of intentions, but time does get away from you. And so it's better just to go ahead, I feel like, and do it all at one time. That fits my schedule.
Do it all at one time, and that way you don't have to worry about it again later on and then end up with a mess.
Yeah, we want you to be successful. So maybe just go ahead and do it as you're doing it. I do have a question. You mentioned the soil test there. Go ahead and get the soil test done. Don't guess. And we can give you specifically what you need for your soil, depending on where you're located at. But what about additional fertilizer? Do dahlias need extra fertilizer?
They're heavy bloomers, so they're going to need additional fertilizers. And usually we'll do something like, and I know people don't want to do a soil test. I don't know why. I don't know. But anyway, if you don't do a soil test and know exactly what you need, I recommend a half a cup of triple 10 at planting. And then a month later, and do that each month until August, and then stop, because there's no reason to get a lot of new growth and, you know, later in the summer, whenever you're just going to have to cut that plant back. And that's because if you get too much nitrogen in there later in the fall, and when you go to dig, those tubers won't keep as well. They get kind of soft and fleshy.
Yeah, we want to make sure we have those beautiful blooms later on. We don't want to have all that growth. So right. I appreciate the recommendation there on the fertilizing. And so that way we kind of know about what to expect, what to have on hand when we need it. Now, I know you've already mentioned about pinching and disbudding dahlias. So what are your general rules of thumb on those techniques and why they're so important?
Basically, what we're trying to do is increase the size of the plant, the branching, and that's going to give us more flowers, especially on the regular types that have the smaller flowers. And you're not trying to maximize one big, large flower just for you to show off. But we like to pinch the top one. It's about a foot tall. Just pinch that top bud out, and then we'll get side branching, and then you can let those side branches grow and you'll get a lot more flowers later. It's also going to keep the plant a little bit shorter, which is also going to help it from not flopping as much later on, and probably keep you from having to stake as much as you might otherwise. It's just good for the plant and for flower production.
Okay. I know that that might be a new term for some people maybe listening to us. And so I know that that can be very helpful, especially long term. Now, I know as we go according to the season that we have on growing, and it can be very different from year to year, we run into pests and they can be a problem for dahlias. Can you kind of elaborate on what pests that you've noticed have been a problem for Kentucky gardeners when they grow dahlias and how they can mitigate those or help control?
In the spring, you could have a slug problem when these first are starting to grow. And if you notice that, then you're going to have to control the slugs. You can get slug bait and sprinkle around, and that usually takes care of them in one night. It's actually got the active ingredient that the brand name 7, it's carbaryl in it. Now, if you're wanting to go more of an organic method for these, you can take like a coffee can and bury it down to the top of the can and just put some beer in it. And that malt will cause them to come to it and they'll fall in a drown. Doesn't have to be alcoholic beer. It could be a near beer. It's just the malt beer they're coming for. Those are the two easiest ways to get rid of slugs. Other pests you're going to have every year, you're going to get Japanese beetles. They're going to be on your blooms every year. There's only one way to get rid of those if they're on the bloom. That's to pick them off in the morning and put them in soapy water. Usually in the mornings, while it's still dewy, they're cool and wet and they can't fly as easily. But you can't spray an insecticide on those blooms for Japanese beetles because we don't want to kill the pollinators. They generally don't bother the foliage much. It's usually the flowers they go for. So another thing is you just go out and cut them while the Japanese beetles are in season and bring your flowers indoors and enjoy them indoors. Last thing that usually you will get on them are thrips. And this is really a bane for people that like to show their flowers at shows and things. Because when those little thrips scratch and eat at that bloom, it makes a pink spot and turns color. And that if you're in a class, to show flowers, then that bloom is no good. Those are going to be insecticidal soaps or something like that to get rid of those. Generally, you could also, if you're wanting perfect blooms, you could cover the plants with the mesh. They have a mesh now that's like remade fabric, but it's got a tighter mesh and little insects can't even get through it. But light goes through. That's just for people who want to show. Homeowners, we don't mind a few little pink spots in a white flower every once in a while.
Yeah, we look elsewhere. We're not as that judge that wants that perfect bloom. Right. Now, I had a quick question while you were talking there, and it relates to the harvesting of dahlias. Is there any specific tips that you have for dinner plate versus some of the smaller ones, or is there a good hard fast rule that you go by when harvesting?
If you want to harvest the flowers for indoors, there is a thing that can help them last a lot longer. And if you don't do this, they won't last very long at all indoors. When you cut them, you bring them in and you put that stem in a bucket of hot water. I'm talking 160 to 180 degrees. That's pretty hot.
That is hot.
And you're just going to set them in there, just that cut stem part, and let them sit until that water cools on its own. And what that does is that sets the flower and they'll last 4 to 6 days after that. So they last a lot longer. It's kind of similar to what we do with poppies when we bring those in and they actually burn the stem with a lighter, that latex that seals the plant. Does kind of the same thing with these dahlias and they last longer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if a lot of people realize the hot water helps them last longer, but anything that we can do to help prolong the life of our bloom is really good, especially when we can enjoy it. I do have a question, like whenever you harvest your dahlias, what are you doing with yours? Are you making arrangements or are you just bringing them inside?
I'm making an arrangement. It may be a bunch of different things mixed with dahlias. I know in the fall when I know it's going to be a frost and freeze, I will cut every bloom I have and have bouquets all over the house until I just didn't enjoy them because you know that's the end of the season. But generally, I mostly keep my flowers outdoors because, I mean, I like to look at them outdoors too.
Yeah, you definitely.
If I'm going to avoid a pest that I know is going to ruin it that day, I'll go ahead and cut them.
I was going to say, they're always really fun to see outside when you're actually watching it grow, I feel like, especially when you've started it at a younger plant size and then you get it on up to bloom size too. I was just curious because I have seen some designers with dahlias, they've taken pumpkins and cored out the middle. I just was curious what Dennis did.
Yeah, you can use them in any way you would use any other flowers pretty much. Cut flowers, not dried flowers. And then they won't do that, but fresh flowers, they're good.
Yeah, I love it. Now, to kind of end on what we're talking about today with dahlias, are there some like challenges or advantages of growing dahlias in Kentucky that you feel like is definitely why gardeners would want to have dahlias in their garden?
I think they're good because we have a long growing season comparative to a lot of the country. And these are tropical plants, so they get a good long growing season here and we get a nice long bloom time out of them. The other thing I think is you can dig these year to year and they will multiply and you'll have some to give away to. And as long as you store them properly, you'll have them. Now, the way to store them is in the fall when we have our first freeze, you just go out, cut that foliage back, dig that tuber, and it's going to be a bunch of tubers, and they've got to be connected to that main stem. Because if a tuber breaks off and it doesn't have a piece of that main stem, it will never grow. Not like a potato. But you just dig that whole thing up, try to shake some, most of the soil off and bring it in and put them in like a wood basket with peat in it. And they do a lot better if they have a little bit of some kind of semi-moist, and I say semi, I mean, I'm pretty much the same as what you buy at the store. It's dry, but it's not like it's in the air. So it's got something covering it. You can also try newspaper if you want to put over them. And then they just got to stay in a cool, dry place, wherever it doesn't freeze. So other than that, that's easy. Actually, I have somebody that brought two of those large cattle tubs that mineral comes in. He grows some dahlias that a lady gave him years ago, and every year they multiply. So I've got two tubs sitting in our project room that's been in there all winter and they're still good. So when I have my dahlia class, people will get some of those too. So we're going to spread those around.
I like that. I like that. And I have several of those laying around my house. So I was going to say, I do have a cattle farmer. So anyway, I love that we've talked about dahlias. You basically started us at the beginning, talked about cultivars, soil, everything all the way to harvest too, and especially pests to watch out for. If folks were to have questions about growing dahlias, is there a certain like publication or resource or maybe a website to go to that would be helpful?
Probably. I mean, they can always search. I usually tell people they can search Google and then put cooperative extension behind it and ask, put dahlia, you're going to get a lot of publications from, may not be UK, but you can get some around states close to us. Also, the American Dahlia Society, and you can just type that into a search engine and that'll pop right up. And they have what they call a Dahlia University, which is just their little site on their site with all the information and things that you can go to get educational research.
I love that. I didn't know they had a Dahlia University.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Well, I hope that folks that are listening felt like they got a little bit of Dahlia University here. So, Dennis, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I do want to put a plug in. You were on the podcast several episodes ago, but if you want to go back and listen to the one on peonies, that's in an earlier episode if you want to keep on scrolling down. I certainly appreciate you being on the podcast, and we hope to have you back for another future episode on cut flowers again later on.
I'd be happy to.
Thanks. As the petals fold on this episode of the Sunshine Gardening Podcast, we thank our guest, Dennis Morgeson, for sharing his expertise and joining us on the podcast today. We hope you've enjoyed our deep dive into growing dahlias in Kentucky. Remember, with some care and attention, your dahlia garden can become a stunning sight, whether you are an experienced gardener or just starting. Thank you for tuning in. To view the show notes for episode 29, visit me over on the blog at warrencountyagriculture.com. Now, before we close the show today, please consider leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and grow our community. We would also love to hear from you if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions for future podcast episodes. Thank you for listening to the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. Make sure to visit us on Facebook at the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. Stay tuned for more gardening tips, tricks, and inspiration. Until next time, happy gardening.
Thanks for listening to the Sunshine Gardening Podcast with Kristen Hildebrand. If you enjoyed today's content, make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts to catch future segments of the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. Gardeners, keep on digging and learning more about gardening so the sun shines brighter over your Kentucky garden. The Sunshine Gardening Podcasts with Kristen Hildebrand is a production of the University of Kentucky Cooperative Extension Service.